Walter E. Morse adventure thriller, The Graves of Wamperjaw, Texas. But first, this message. For super quick, action crime mystery adventure, hear Nick Carter, Master Detective, this Sunday over most of these stations. Nick Carter is part of Mutual's lineup of Sunday shows that are tops in imaginative listening to suit everyone. Since 1886, when the first Nick Carter story was printed and sold to the general public, this famous fiction sleuth has delighted and amused his faithful fans. In his radio adventures, heard over Mutual since 1942, he has become one of the nation's great favorites. And despite his long history, Nick Carter is outstanding as a modern-day detective. Every Sunday, when you join Nick Carter, you set out on an exciting trail of clues and deductions, of action and suspense, which reach the heights of the mysterious. Nick Carter's trigger-fast mind provides his listeners with a challenging opportunity to match wits with a master detective who solves crime bafflers with polished ease. Hear Nick Carter this Sunday over most of these stations. And now, I Love a Mystery. Ten o'clock in the morning in the city of Wamperjaw, which is somewhere in Texas. Jack, Doc, and Jerry have been in this lawless little boomtown for only 42 hours. And in that time, there have been three murders prophesied on the tombstones of open graves, and two of these prophecies fulfilled. Last night, after a midnight rendezvous in the cemetery with Doc, Jerry, the Mexican girl Mercedes, and her brother Ramon, Jack slipped away to hide and work on certain angles of the murder by himself. He left Doc, also a fugitive, to follow up other clues. Jerry is with Mercedes. As Jack vanished down the road leading from the graveyard, there was a fusillade of shots. Those left behind stood appalled. Had Jack been ambushed? They ran to give a hand, but there was nothing. Both Jack and the would-be killer had vanished. Finally, Jerry and Mercedes crept back to the cabin, and Ramon and Doc slipped away to a convenient hayloft. It is now 10 in the morning, and Doc and Ramon are on their way to the bank.
Well, we stand here to go to the bank. There's no one on the street.
Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody within a block. Slow this morning, but now the tempo does pick up after dark. Now, this building?
See?
Let's have a look-see first.
Hey, Ramon. Si, senor?
Is that Mr. Martin sitting there at that desk? That old fellow with the whiskey?
Si, that is him.
Well, who's the fellow he's talking to?
Oh, I cannot say, senor. I have never seen that one until now.
Well, he looks like that, ain't he?
Senor Martin, you mean?
No, I mean the fellow talking to Martin. Crippled, right arm shot, dirty old overalls, white whiskey. Look at that big stick of a cane he's carrying.
If she will not have on the dark glasses,
there
I might...
There he goes. Now he's through with Martin, it looks like.
He goes to the counter to write a check, perhaps. Of one thing I'm sure, he is not one of the Bradley guys.
Well, good. Then let's go in.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
Well, how are you? My name is Long, Miss Martin. This here is...
I know Ramon. Yes, very well. How are you, my boy?
Oh, I feel very fine, gracias.
That's good. Can I be of service to you, Mr. Long?
Well, now, maybe you can and maybe you can't. I'd just like to ask you a couple of questions, if you don't mind.
Yes, certainly, Mr. Long. What would you like to know?
Well, the first thing I'd like to know, Mr. Martin, is whether you've got any personal enemies in this town.
Well, I haven't... What a strange question. No, I have no enemies here or any place else, I assure you.
Well, I didn't think you probably had, but you see...
Why, Mrs. Hooton, I am delighted to see you. You must excuse me for a moment, Mr. Long. You see, I never let business interfere with the charming visits I sometimes have from Mrs. Hooton. She'll only be a mouthful.
Oh, let me step over there by the counter and wait.
Thank you.
Come on, Ramon. Let's wait over here.
Come in, Mrs. Hooton. Come in.
All right, it's fine. Come on in.
Yes, quite all right. Come right up here to the desk here.
Back again. Howdy.
Oh, I see what you have there under your arm. You've done it again.
Yes, sir. Take you another cake.
Oh, you're so very thoughtful, Mrs. Houghton. I do appreciate it. The last one was wonderful. You're a good cook.
Yes, sir. I cook right good.
Yes, you certainly do. Is there anything else today?
Else? You say else?
Yes. I see you're wearing your beautiful tiara. It's lovely. Lovely there in your hair.
Yes, sir, but it won't do it. It won't.
Too much, perhaps. Too much still. Simplicity, you know. Not simple enough. Should we take one of the stones? Should we, do you think?
Another one? Not there.
It was just a suggestion, Mrs. Houghton. Just a suggestion. Yes, perhaps you're right. Keep it just the way it is for a while. It will do it. It will, I'm sure.
You're so good.
Thank you, Mrs. Houghton. Thank you. I try to help. I really do.
Sir, you are so good. I'm going now. Bye.
Goodbye, Mrs. Houghton. Come in again any time, and if there's any business you'd like me to handle, any of your late husband's affairs that need attention, remember, I'll be only too glad to help you.
Squire Houghton, thing?
Yes. I'm sorry you lost your husband. I'll help you in any way I can.
Squire Houghton has gone to glory. He's got stars in his crown now.
I'm sure he has.
Goodbye.
Yes. Goodbye. Oh, Mr. Bradley.
Oh, excuse me, Miss Houghton. I didn't mean to bump into you.
You didn't mean to. Goodbye.
How are you, Mr. Martin? Busy?
Not too busy, Mr. Bradley. Is something I can do for you?
Just want to cash a little check. I'll write it out. Wait on them fellas over there and get rid of them first if you want to.
Just as you say, Mr. Bradley. Mr. Long, I can talk to you now.
Oh, never mind. It wasn't important. Now, we'll come back again.
Hey.
Is something the matter, Mr. Bradley?
Something the matter. Stick them hands up.
Si, senor. The hands are up. Do not shoot, senor. Do not shoot us.
Shut up and walk over here. Keep them up.
This makes the second time you stuck me up with my own nickel-plated pearl-handled 45, you skunk.
It is wiser to keep the mouth shut, senor.
Come here, Ramon.
Senor, I am here.
Come up closer to me. Come on.
Si, senor Granny. I am now close to you.
Try that, besides.
Tell a polecat, hitting that kid on the jaw with a flat side of a six-shooter. And my six-shooter is dead.
You ought to what? Come another inch closer and I'll blow a hole in you as big as a washtub.
Mr. Bradley, please. You shouldn't have done that.
That ain't nothing to what he's going to get. All right, Ramon, get up from there. Get up.
For sure as I am breathing, Senor Bradley. Just for sure. Sometime I will kill you.
Maybe you're right at that, sonny.
Now, you gonna tell me where that partner of yours, that Packard fella, is at, or am I gonna have to beat you into it?
I wish I did know. Just so as I could prove to you that I wouldn't tell you.
All right. All right, we're going to take us a walk right over at the jailhouse. Got more room there. Then I'm going to... Say, who are you? Who is that fellow, Martin? That old man crouching over yonder in the corner.
Oh, he's all right, Mr. Bradley. He's all right. He came in to talk to me about having some money transferred to my bank from his bank in California. He's just a cripple who's a stranger in town. I don't think you need to worry about him.
Can he talk?
Wait, yes, but he's evidently terrified. He spoke to me in a high, weak voice just before these men came in.
I see. Hey, you. Get out of that corner and get on out of that building. Go on, beat it. fighting him.
He's gone, Mr. Bradley.
All right, you two. Just march along in front of me.
Well, where you are going to take us, senor?
To the jailhouse, that's where. Open the door for him, Martin.
Yes, certainly.
Now, get on through. That's it. Now, march.
Ramon.
See?
Pull that bell on your face. You can trip over your feet.
Well, smart, huh? I heard that, Redhead. Who do you think you're fussing with, women?
What big ears you've got.
You'll play that tune on the other side of your mouth pretty quick now. Keep moving.
I am moving, ain't it?
Fall on your face. Go on, try it, Ramon, try it. I just love an excuse to put a slug of lead into you. In either one of you. Hey, look out.
Get him, mister. Look, senor Wallace. Brody, he is knocked in the head. Somebody have smashed him in the head.
Yeah, that old geezer who was in the bank, he sneaked right up behind Brody and let him have it over the head.
He's run like the jackrabbit, eh?
Yeah, there he goes, licky split.
Now, who do you reckon he is?
Oh, I do not know, senor, but I love that man. I love him big.
Amen, brother, amen.
Senor, quick. Others have seen. We must go quick, eh?
Amen. Now, I got my nickel-plated 45 back. Just let Bradley start something, and I hope he does.
American Heart Association is waging a three-front war against heart disease. AHA researchers are constantly seeking to find the causes and develop treatments and cures for heart ailments. It is your contribution to the Heart Fund which supports their work. One Mayo Clinic Heart Authority expressed the prevailing optimism this way. If we can fight heart disease in the future as well as we have in the past, there will come a day in our lifetime when there will be no heart disease which cannot be prevented or corrected. Help in the fight. Send your contribution to Heart, care of your local post office. The further adventures of Jack and Doc will come to you tomorrow at the same hour when you hear Doc say...
Look at him. He's just sitting there, all puffed up. He turned all green. He's just sitting there, staring at nothing. I ain't never seen the man die that way before.
I Love a Mystery, written and produced by Carlton E. Morse, comes to you Monday through Friday, featuring Russell Thornton as Jack Packard and Jim Bowles as Doc Law, with Robert Dryden as Ramon, Agnes Young as Mrs. Houghton, and directed by Mel Bailey. This is Frank McCarthy speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.